I'm going to pray and ask God to bless what we're about to see and hear, and then we're going to turn this service over to Chuck Neighbors. Let's all pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you for all you've done so far. We do pray that your message will come through and encourage many people here now. Bless Chuck Neighbors and the gifts you've entrusted to him. Use him as your servant and your messenger to all of us now by the Holy Spirit, and help us all to hear what you're saying to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Would you please welcome now, performing the play called Pillars, Mr. Chuck Neighbors.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you and good morning. Oh, some of you aren't quite so sure. Let's try that again. Good morning. Oh, that's so good. It's good to hear a response back to that greeting. I travel around the country, a lot of different churches, and sometimes I'll say good morning, and people look back as if to say, prove it. So I appreciate a response, and thank you for that introduction, Pastor Rick. Of all the introductions I've been given, that has to be the most recent. It is a pleasure to be here to share with you a presentation called Pillars today. If you were to look up the word pillar in the dictionary, you would see a definition that reads something to the effect of a firm, upright support. And it goes on to say, one who strongly supports a work or a cause. And of course, that's the term that the church has coined to refer to people that are just that, those strong supporters of the church, people who've given their time, their talents, their money, people who've stood the test of time. Well, this morning we're going to meet some characters, some who may and some who may not fit that definition. You get to decide. For our purpose this morning is to take kind of a candid look at the people who fill the pews or the seats in the auditorium each week. Some of the characters that you're going to meet may make you laugh a little bit. One or two might even cause some of you to shed a tear or two. But I guarantee you, if you've spent very much time within the four walls of this building we call the church, you're going to identify with at least one of these characters. Now, a couple of ground rules that I need to explain to you this morning. I'm going to do six different characters for you. So the set's going to kind of change as each character is presented. And one of the things that I do when I travel, because I'm in all kinds of different situations, I don't normally have a backstage, and so I've kind of forgotten how to use them. So instead, I brought my backstage on stage. That little coat tree area there, that's the backstage of my performance area. So when I go up there and stand with my back to the audience, that's your cue to close your eyes and imagine loud, spontaneous laughter and applause. I always do. In any case, that lets you know that that play is over and we're moving on to the next scene. And I think the lighting's going to help a little bit with that as well to close each scene out. So with that out of the way, I want to go ahead and set the scene for the first one. We're going to take the first one. Shouldn't be too hard to imagine this one. We're going to actually go to a church. And so we're going to ask you to imagine that these three chairs are now seats in a church. You know, in the comic strips, when they're going to tell you what a person is saying, they write the words in a little cloud with a little point coming down towards their head, right? If they want to tell you what that person is thinking, they use little dots coming down towards the head instead. That's the situation here. We're going to eavesdrop now on a person's thoughts during the worship service as we begin Pillars. Morning, George. Service started. Late again. Sorry. I'm sorry. Could you move that? Thank you. Why do so many people have to crowd into the last row? Should leave that one open for the people who are late. Sure hope the service doesn't run over today. Game starts at 12:30. Gives me just enough time to get home, change, and settle in front of the TV set. I sure wish Pastor Rick were more of a sports fan. Still, he must know how important this game is. Practically all the guys talked about it, that sweetheart banquet Marjorie dragged me to. Boy, I'm ever glad they only have those once a year.
Between that, the Christmas dinner, and the Easter breakfast, I feel like I practically live here. Oh, good. He's starting the sermon. If he keeps it to 20 minutes, I should be home in time for the kickoff. Wonder what he's talking about today. A living sacrifice, your reasonable service. Not one of his catchier sermon titles. Somebody ought to publish a book. 101 catchy sermon titles. Probably sell like hotcakes. Ministers all over the country receiving copies anonymously. Still, this must be a good one. Marjorie was sure excited about it. Boy, what got him fired up on that topic? Get somebody sleeping last week or what? I just hope he's not too hot or I just might miss the beginning of the game. Wonder if the coach is going to start that Wilson kid this week. He's sure been making the papers lately. Wonder Wilson, they've been calling him. I wonder, will Wilson win the, what's a good W word that means game? Winsome Wanderer. Oh, what? Oh, I agree. He sure hit that nail on the head there. What nail did I just agree to? Oh, fellowship. I wonder who that woman is anyway. She looks vaguely familiar. I wish I could get Marjorie to come to the service instead of working in the nursery all the time so I'd know somebody. Come on, Rick, wrap it up. 10 more minutes until showtime. I just hope I don't get that the house could burn down around you when the Seahawks are playing lecture again from Marjorie. I mean, if I didn't concentrate, I'd miss something. What's the use of watching the game if you're not going to get involved? Boy, whoever he caught sleeping must have been snoring. Speaking of snoring, haven't heard anybody snore in church since Larry Weston moved to Boise. He was a good guy, old Larry. Come to church every Sunday without fail and fall asleep 10 minutes into the service without fail. Old Larry didn't have much of an attention span. Ah, finally. Seattle Seahawks, here I come. Oh. And the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen.
What? Oh, yes, yes. Was most inspiring. Yes, present yourself a living sacrifice. Quite a challenge.
Sitting through another one of Pastor Rick's sermons, that's a challenge. Talk about your living sacrifice.
Why am I here? Why am I doing this? Oh, the pastor made it sound so reasonable in that class the other day. How do we expect to feel that God is involved in our lives if we don't even take the time to talk to him? Makes sense, I thought. And then he says, I want people to commit to 15 minutes in prayer every morning before they start their day. And what did I do? I volunteered. Oh, if there's one thing the Army taught me, it was never volunteer. So here I'm at 5:45. 5:55. Had to make coffee first. I've tried this before without the coffee. Get up, close my eyes to pray, wake up an hour later and go to work. No prayer before coffee. That's probably why Peter, James, and John fell asleep in Gethsemane. They didn't have their coffee. So here I am, awake, sort of, ready to pray. And again, I don't know what to say, how to start or anything. I'm supposed to pray, really pray, for 15 minutes. Only 15 minutes, he says. I think reasonable. Why not? Why didn't I remember that I've never really prayed for more than 1 minute at a stretch? That was at Thanksgiving, and everybody thought that was too long. Food's getting cold, Gene whispered. So how am I supposed to pray for 15 whole minutes? Oh, I know, I know. Just talk to God the way you would talk to your best friend. I think reasonable. Only one problem. When I talk to my best friend, he answers back. We converse. It's not one person talking for 15 minutes. It's two people, a give and take. And I know my friend is listening because he answers back. Forgive me, but sometimes I wonder if you're really listening. I wish you would speak out loud in plain English sometimes. Oh, I know, I know.
We need to learn how to listen to God, maybe trying to talk to us, but we just aren't tuned into that communication.
Well, how do we listen to you? How do you speak to us, to me? Oh, I know the pat answers. Through the Bible, through other people, that still small voice. But how do we know it's you? I mean, I know the Bible is your word, but I would like a personal word from you, not just something general for everybody. Does that make sense? I want to feel you in here, not just intellectually, but know you in my heart. That's why I prayed that prayer the other day. He said the first step is to pray for the desire to pray. And so that's what I did. I prayed for the desire, and that's why I'm here.
That's why I'm here. That's how I began this morning. Why am I here? I guess because I had the desire to be here. I was even willing to get out of bed early.
What was it that he said? A close relationship with the Lord doesn't just happen. It takes time set aside and the discipline to keep that time. Well, I'll be. You answered my prayer. I asked for the desire to pray, and you gave it to me. Well, okay. I guess I better start praying.
Been praying. This whole one-sided conversation has been a prayer. I've been praying for several minutes without even realizing it. Hold it. Hold it. I just realized something else. Realized is the key, too. This hasn't been one-sided after all. You're speaking to me just now. I heard your voice. Through other people, the pastor, and now this, my realization, an unmistakable, still small voice.
What do you know? This is kind of exciting. Praise the Lord!
Learning to pray. I want to learn more. What was it he said to read? Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. I need my Bible. I'll bet you have something specific in there for me.
after all. Thanks, Lord.
Honey, can you get the phone? No? Oh, okay. No, I got it. It's all right. Hello? Oh, hi, Bradley. Oh? Oh, I see. No, that's all right. No, I'll see if I can arrange for another night to meet. Right, bye.
Okay, William. Be cool.
I'm cool. William Asher, we want you to act as chairman of the church fellowship committee. As you know, we acquired a lot of new members when Pastor Leland was here, but a lot of these new folks don't know us old timers, and we're afraid there'll be nothing to keep the church together. We need some programs to bring the fellowship together, and we feel you are just the man to do it.
Thanks, Bradley. I'd love to take the position. I certainly agree with you about the need for strong church fellowship, and I have a couple of ideas I'd like to talk to you about.
Well, I'd love to hear them, William, but I haven't the time just now. I have a few things to do at home, but don't worry. I have great confidence in your abilities, and rest assured you have my complete support.
So that was how William Asher became chairman of the Church Fellowship Committee. Now, William Asher has always been an active churchman, but this is the first time that I'd ever been called on to help set up a church committee. Previous to that, I'd always observe that our church didn't have many fellowship programs. Now, to my mind, it is imperative that a church body be as a family unit, and, well, I was a bit critical of the church leadership for not providing programs designed to bring the members together. I felt it was particularly important now that we were between pastors, so I accepted the position, supremely confident that with my leadership and God's help, I would present to our new pastor a unified and cohesive church body, and that the church history books would one day record our church as one of the most unified in all of Christendom. I've been called an optimist before. Well, since there was no fellowship committee, I began busily phoning around to set one up. Everyone I talked to seemed enthusiastic about the project, so we set up a meeting for the following Thursday. Everyone promised to be there with bells on. Well, Thursday came. Of the seven that were supposed to be on the committee, the only ones who showed up were Mrs. Barker, Linda Patchen, and Greg Billings. Undaunted, we forged ahead and set up plans for a church sing-along. Now, that may sound a bit old-fashioned, but the last church I went to had them, and everyone always turned out. Of course, it was a small church in a very small town before cable. It could be everybody thought it would be more exciting than watching the pavement dry. Still, we all felt it was a fine idea. We publicized, we made announcements from the pulpit, even sent out flyers with the newsletter. The big night came. The only people who showed up were Mrs. Barker, Linda Patchen, Greg Billings, and three other couples, one of whom brought their baby who was teething. The Evans, the Petersons, and the Clarks. The organist did come too. We had a lovely time, but since we'd all known each other since the church was founded, it didn't exactly serve the purpose. Still, we remained positive. Perhaps the key, we decided, was food, a potluck. What more incentive could we give people? Mom doesn't have to cook, the kids don't have to clean up, and Dad doesn't have to listen to the kids fight about whose night it is to clean up. No fuss, no muss, no bother, just great fun. After the announcement from the pulpit, at least 25 people told me what a wonderful idea they thought it was. They all remember going to potlucks when they were kids and having a terrific time. We were set for a wonderful evening. The evening came. The only people who showed up were Mrs. Barker, Linda Patchen, Greg Billings, the Evans, the Petersons, and the Clarks. How long do babies' teeth for anyway? But we had a lovely time. If you like meals that consist of one chocolate cake, two plates of peanut butter cookies, three Jell-O molds, and a pot of Brussels sprouts. Well, needless to say, I was a bit ruffled. Not only were we not getting support from a majority of the church members, Bradley didn't even show up.
You know, my boy, I clean forgot. That was during the playoffs. I didn't even give it a second thought. As a matter of fact, I had the church board over to watch the game. I'm sorry, William, but you're doing a fine job. Make no mistake about that.
Perhaps a little entertainment. We booked in a traveling drama troupe and planned for desserts and coffee afterwards. We even put up posters all over town and called each member individually to urge them to attend. Mrs. Barker said she thought the plays were very good. Linda Patchett thought the skits were very funny. Greg Billings said that we should have them for our worship service. The Evans, the Petersons, and the Clarks all agreed it was better than watching reruns of Everybody Loves Raymond. Finally,